Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 16. Lottery fever swept our nation this week. $1.6 billion. I asked Judy Asar earlier, I said, the winner's from South Carolina. You got family there. You got something to tell us. And she demurred. She was mum. She says, not my family, but I'm not, no. I'll be honest, I thought about it for just a minute. I thought, ooh, that's a lot of money. Then I realized I am more likely to be eaten by a shark or struck by lightning or become an astronaut than I am to win those things. But, you know, the odds didn't stop about 90 people in Florida. They got together. They pulled their money together. And after spending $56,000 in tickets, they reaped a reward of $1,224. I did the math. That's about $600 per person invested. I use that term loosely. Invested to reap $13 reward. Why do people play the lottery? Why do people do that? I think the simple answer is to get rich. Studies have shown that poor people disproportionately play the lottery, and many of them are desperate to fix their lives, and they think that money, that's gonna fix it. On the occasion that somebody hits a big jackpot, they find that it doesn't make their lives better. It actually makes their lives worse. A man who won over $300 million admitted that when he won, it destroyed his life. Instead of fixing things, it destroyed him. Jesus, the Bible warns us about the dangers in being rich. In Matthew 19:23, Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." And Proverbs 11:28 says, "Those who trust in their riches will fall." Revelation 3:17, the Lord Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea had this to say, "You say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretches, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." And in James 5, we read this, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." People want to become rich because they want to solve the problems in their lives. But Jesus says it actually makes your life worse. And He warns us against putting our hope in riches. Friends, this morning I simply want to encourage you to not put your trust in riches, not put your trust in your own resources. Trust God to take care of you. That's the message of Exodus 16. Let's read this passage together. We're going to read the whole chapter. Exodus 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, And that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you know that it was the Lord when He gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person that you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day He gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. As the Lord commanded Moses, Aaron put the manna with the tablets of the covenant law so that it might be preserved. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is one-tenth of an ephah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving to us Your living Word to teach us and instruct us in the way of faith. We pray that we would learn to trust You today with every part of our lives. May we trust You with our daily needs. May we trust You with our big concerns. And may we especially trust You with our eternal souls. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Israel had some lessons to learn in the wilderness. Some hard lessons. Lessons that we need to learn as well. They are a month out of Egypt at this point in the story. They're months into the wilderness, and they're starting to get a little hungry. They've already run out of water, and the Lord has miraculously provided water for them, but that would be a continuing issue for them. Now they're out of food, and they start to grumble. Now, they grumble in a very spiritual way. Have you noticed that? You know, we Christians, we grumble and complain just like everybody else. But we do it in a spiritual way. We don't complain about the Lord. Well, look what God's done to me. How dare God do this? No. We complain about our circumstances. We complain about our leaders. We look at each other and we point fingers at each other and ask, how could you do this to me? And that's what the Israelites are doing. They're complaining to Moses. They're complaining to Aaron. They're complaining about their circumstances. But in reality, they were grumbling against God. Their grumbling reveals that they don't know, understand, and believe that God would take care of them. Instead of praying, instead of turning to the Lord, they just complain. We have a tendency to do that. And we have to guard that in our hearts and in our lives. We need to learn these lessons this morning. The first one is, God knows what you need. God knows what you need. You know what? When God made the Israelites, when He crafted that nation, when He formed them, He knew they were made of human beings. And when God created people, He created with stomachs. He created us to need food. God is not surprised that His people got hungry. God knew that they were in the wilderness. He knew that there was not a lot of resources out there. God knows. God knows that you have needs. He knows that you need food and clothing and shelter. And He knew the Israelites needed that. He knew where they were, and He knows where you are. And God has provided. God created us with physical needs, and He provided the resources in this wonderful world in which we live to meet those needs. He gave us plants and animals, and He created it enjoyable for us. He knew the Israelites needed food. He knew that they were in the wilderness, and He knew what was going on. If you're going to learn to trust God, you must know that He knows your needs. That He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. Do you know that today? God knows what you need. The second lesson the Israelites needed to learn is that God provides for your daily needs. God knew that they needed food, and He was ready to provide it for them. God was teaching them to learn, to trust Him, to seek Him. Instead of looking to the Lord, they grumble, they complain. They reminisce about how good it was in Egypt. Isn't that funny? We sat around in Egypt. They didn't sit around. They were busy building cities for Pharaoh. Oh, we had pots of meat everywhere. Your life was miserable, but how quickly... It took a month for them to forget how bad it was in Egypt. How long does it take us to forget? How quickly do we forget? But they thought that it was better for them back in Egypt. Friends, we are tempted to turn back to what was comfortable, what was knowable to us, even if it was a place of spiritual bondage in our lives. What a foolish temptation it is. But we need to know that God will provide for our daily needs. God was going to give them manna. Manna literally means, what is it? They go out the morning, and they see the substance covering the desert floor, and they look at each other and say, what is it? Moses said, it's the bread God told you He was going to give you. Go gather it. It was a supernatural provision from God. God can take care of you wherever you are. He knows what you need, and He knows how to provide for your needs. He will take care of you, and He can do it through any means necessary. Now, God had provided supernaturally this provision of manna, this miracle bread. But he had them gather it by ordinary means. God didn't just poof it into their tent. God just didn't make it appear in the pot. Now, God could have done that. When we read the story of Elisha dealing with the widow of Zarephath, she was about to starve to death. And Elijah told her, look, you've used the last of your food, the flour, the meal that you have, the little bit of oil. You make me a pancake. You feed me first, and God will take care of you. And sure enough, that's what she did. And the flour never ran out. The oil never ran out. She was taken care of. God could have made the food appear in the pots of the Israelites, but he didn't. He put it on the desert floor, and he gave them directions to go and use ordinary means to procure the resources that God has provided supernaturally for them. God expected them to go to work. It's a principle found in the New Testament. Paul wrote to Thessalonians and said, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. But even though the Israelites were going out and gathering up the food, even though they were putting in the pots and they were boiling it or they were baking it, apparently it's pretty versatile stuff, they could do anything with it. Even though they were preparing it and consuming it, God had supernaturally prepared it or provided it for them. Friends, God provides for our daily needs. Whether he does it supernaturally, maybe an unexpected check comes in the mail. Maybe you expected a huge bill and for some reason Amron decided, hey, it's free this month. Or whatever it is that you didn't think it was all going to come together, God provides in ways you can't explain. You just know he took care of you. Or God just gives you a job to get up and go to work every day and get your paycheck. So you can pay your bills and buy your groceries. Either way, God is providing for your needs. This manna continued while Israel was in the wilderness. For 40 years, it was there. 6 mornings a week. The only time it stopped was when they went into the promised land. When they entered the promised land, a land that was described as a place that was flowing with milk and honey. It was rich in resources. Listen, when you give your life to the Lord, when you follow the Lord and He leads you into the wilderness, He will take care of you in the wilderness. He'll provide for your daily needs. He knows what you need. So whether it's through supernatural means or the ordinary means that God has established, He gets the credit for taking care of you. Third lesson, God teaches you through your needs. God knows what you need. God provides for your needs. And God is teaching you through your needs. The first thing that God was teaching the Israelites was to follow instructions. Instruction number one, don't get too much. Get what you need. Instruction number two, don't save it until tomorrow. They saved it. It had bugs in it. It was stinking. It was nasty, nasty stuff. God said, on Saturday, every other day you're supposed to get just enough for that day, but on Saturday, get double. Take my word, it'll be okay. And prepare what you need, because Saturday, the seventh day, it's a day of rest. Don't get too much. Don't expect me to give you some on the day of rest. You get it the day before. God was teaching the Israelites to learn to live by daily faith. Do we live that way? God was also teaching them about their future. In verse 33, God told Moses and Aaron to take a jar of manna. Take a container of the manna and hold on to it because I want it to be a tangible reminder to the nation that I'm the one who provides for you, that I take care of you. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and he wrote them in a bit of a retrospect. We're told here that they put the jar of manna with the tablets of the law. Now, if you're tracking where we are in Exodus, you know, wait a minute, they don't have those tablets yet. Eventually, they were going to put this jar of manna in with the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. God gave them His law, God gave them food, God gave them His presence in their lives. And the Israelites would be reminded time and time again, like in Exodus 78, that it was God who fed them in the wilderness. And in Nehemiah 9, when they were rebuilding the city, that it was God who had taken care of them in the past, and they could trust Him in the future. God was teaching them to learn to live by faith. Trust the Lord to take care of you. That was the message. But there was an even bigger lesson. You see, this was a clue to what God was going to do, not only for Israel in the future, but for the whole world. Centuries would pass before they would come to know the full meaning of the manna. In John chapter 6, the people were hungry again. There was a large mass of people listening to a Galilean teacher. And after days of following Him in the remote places, they get hungry. And the teacher takes a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He multiplies it. And He feeds thousands of people. And those Jews thought, this is it. Manna has restarted. All right, we've hit the jackpot. God's giving us manna again. And they start trying to make Jesus their king so that He will keep providing the daily bread for them. And Jesus says, no, you've missed the point here. You don't need physical bread, you need spiritual bread, and I am the bread of life. You see, physically you need bread. Spiritually you need Jesus. And your greatest need is not to have lunch. Your greatest need is to have Jesus as your Savior. The manna pointed to Jesus, who would be the sustaining bread, the eternal bread for the nation. Life is more than just bread alone. God will provide your daily bread, and Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. God will provide for your needs, and He'll take care of you. But remember, your greatest need is your eternal need. If you won't trust God with your daily needs, you won't trust Him with your ultimate need. But if you can trust God with your ultimate needs, your eternal need, you can trust Him with your daily need. You can hold on to the promise of Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches through Christ Jesus. So the lesson of Exodus 16, trust God to take care of you. Trust God to take care of you. Some of you this morning are struggling hard because you are afraid of what tomorrow may bring. You're afraid of the future. You're looking at your bills and you're looking at your income and you just don't know how it's going to happen. You're looking at your kids, your grandkids, and you're thinking about the future, and you're terrified. God knows what you need. Trust Him. Where's your faith today? Who are you counting on? Are you counting on hitting the lottery? Or are you counting on the Lord? When things get hard, do you grumble and complain and do you grow bitter? Or do you pray? And do you trust the Lord? Are you living day by day depending on the Lord to provide for you And are you doing what God has directed you to do? Whether it's work if you're able, or sharing what you have with others who are in need by not being greedy and not hoarding? Are you following those directions in your life? And do you know that your greatest need is not lunch today or tomorrow, but to have the bread of life, to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Trust God to take care of you. Give your life to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Thank You for caring for us, for meeting our daily needs. May we be a people who live by faith, trusting in You and relying upon You. Father, I don't know the concerns and cares of each person who is here, but You do. And Father, I know that whatever our needs are, You're the one who meets them. You're the one who takes care of us. Father, sometimes You lead us into the wilderness to teach us hard lessons. Sometimes You lead us into the promised land where abundance is available. Wherever You would have us to be, help us to trust You and look to You. And may we always be grateful for all that You've done and all that You've given. In Jesus' name, amen.